Thanksgiving service for Sylvia Joy McNeil. Lovely to see so many here. Let's start, first of all, with commending the whole service to the Lord in prayer. David Angel, please.
Shall we pray? Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come to Thee, the God of all comfort. And we come with mingled sadness and joy. Sadness that a dear friend and a treasured sister has been taken from us. We thank Thee for her love of Thy people, for the great personal interest that she took in every member of our families, which was obviously backed up by prayer for each one of us. We thank Thee for her faithful service to her Lord. Not only did she serve Him in every way that she could, but she supported others and set them free to serve Him too, in a way that was of incalculable value. Our Father, we miss her, and we shall miss her. We commend to Thee especially the Merle and all the family and the friends in South Africa whose thoughts are with us at this moment. May they find comfort in placing their trust in the Saviour whom Sylvia knew and loved. We pray. But we come with joy as well, our Father. We have marked with distress the sad decline in her health over recent months. And now that is all ended. She is with Christ, which is far better. And how we thank Thee for that. How we thank Thee that as believers, we have our focus set upon a heavenly destination and upon a heavenly inheritance of which we cannot be deprived. And day by day, every day that passes brings us nearer to that destination which dear Sylvia has now reached. Thank Thee, our Father, for the hope that the Christian has. And may that hope pervade this service today, we pray. As we listen to Thy word read, as we sing these lovely hymns, as we listen to Thy word explained, as later we gather around that open grave, may we do so in that confident hope and expectation that because He lives, we shall live also. So we commit all this, all that happens and all that takes place today to Thee, that Thou wilt be over every detail and that all might be done to the honor and glory of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Now let's join together in one of the three lovely hymns which Sylvia chose herself. And that first hymn on the sheet shall be "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way." Thank you very much, David.
When peace is like a river, attendeth my way.
should laugh it, and trials should come. Let this blessed assurance control, and that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and if
have some reflections with David Sims coming to us. Thank you, David.
Well, we certainly know Sylvia had a sense of humour because she asked me to do the presentations. I've got a number here, and we're going to have two more when I finish. The first one is an appreciation by her sister and her brother-in-law, Merlin Gordon Anderson, and it also comes from Mary and Tanya Anderson and family. Sylvia Joy McNeil was the dearest, kindest sister I could have ever wished for. Today my heart is filled with sadness at her passing, but to know that she has gone to her Heavenly Father is of great comfort at this time. We know that she is free from all pain and suffering. Sylvia was never one to complain. On every occasion when we chatted and I asked her, "How are you, Sylvia?" she always replied she was fine. She never wanted me to worry. Sylvia was not only a sister to me. When at a very young age we lost our parents, she became like a mother to me. Over the years we shared many happy times together, and with them also came sad times. Sylvia was never one to bare her soul there. There came a time in her life when she felt the need for change, and the opportunity arose for her to move to England in 1960, where she made her home for the past 50 odd years. Up until the past few years, when her health did not permit, we were blessed with her visits back to South Africa at regular intervals, sharing happy Christmases together. Sylvia also played a major role in our son Murray's life, not only as a devoted aunt, but also as a grandma. And lastly, sharing the joy of his marriage to Tanya, and then their two little boys, who she just loved. Not having a family of her own in England, her Christian friends became her family, of which she spoke about on many occasions. To the many folk who have so lovingly cared for her with many visits, may you all be blessed. You will never know how grateful I am to all of you. It would, however, be amiss of me not to mention David and Pam Sampson and David and Rachel Sims for all the help given to Sylvia over the last years. The load has been heavy. Thank you so much. Till we meet again, dearest sister, may you rest in peace. God bless you all from your loving family in South Africa, Merle and Gordon and family. And some people might think, well, it's a bit... It's a bit sad that Merle and family aren't here. You will find on the back of your order of service, there is a very specific request that Sylvia made, that her family were not to come here for this occasion. Then an appreciation by Debbie Barnes, my sister-in-law, and one of her UK family. I was only ever disappointed in Sylvia once in my life, and that was when I first met her. I was about 7 years old when my dad told me he was bringing someone to visit who was from South Africa. As a child, I assumed everyone from Africa would be black. And when she turned out to be white, I was most put out. Other than that, Sylvia was never a disappointment. She was a great friend, and as I grew older, a great shopping companion. That does seem to be a theme that comes through from these appreciations. I always enjoyed a day out to London with Sylvia, visiting Harrods, Fortnum and Mason's and Liberty. She had great style, especially with the elegant hand-tailored clothes she seemed effortlessly to produce. I stayed with her while I made my wedding dress to benefit from her expertise and enjoy the glass of sherry before dinner, which seemed very civilised to me. I'm not sure if everybody knew that here, but... There we are. Sylvia was unassuming and modest, and yet always willing to give an honest opinion when asked. Her only failing was not liking cheese. She was an integral part of my life, and I'm glad to have called her my friend. Now, an appreciation from Angela Cox. Ronsley recommended Sylvia to attend Parkside, and on the first Sunday she arrived, Brian and I spoke to her, and that was the beginning of a friendship that lasted till Sylvia went to be with the Lord. She used to say she couldn't cook. It was just that she never mastered a roast dinner. But she used to entertain in her flat and gave us wonderful meals served with rice. Her puddings, South African recipes, were fatteningly gorgeous and were very popular at Parkside. She was an excellent needlewoman, making many of her own clothes, and some for me too. She was a good knitter and a keen supporter of our missionary fellowship. In later years, when she was unable to sew or knit, she would faithfully come along and make us a cuppa. We always enjoyed going to London together to shop. Sylvia knew London much better than many Londoners themselves. Alternatively, we would catch the train to Reading. On these trips, we were usually looking for material for her to make up. Sylvia came with us on family holidays. A memorable one was to Jersey when Paul drove Sylvia's car and was stopped at a customs for a check. Jokes were made about Paul being her toy boy. Sylvia was always willing to take me to hospital appointments and to visit Brian when he was hospitalised due to his strokes. At Parkside, Sylvia would faithfully pick up children for Sunday school and Friday club. When Christianity Explored was on, it was Sylvia who sat with Rachel and Andrew Stansfield, and you'll hear more of that very shortly, and that developed into a friendship which was very strong and lasting. In the women's meeting, it was Sylvia who helped Phyllis Ritchie to read some of the Bible story books. Sylvia was a faithful, dependable lady who loved her Saviour and served him well. Her passing was very peaceful after a long illness, which she endured with serenity and cheerfulness, and now is at rest with the Lord. Then an appreciation by Elizabeth Pierce. holidays with Sylvia. I did have to slightly reduce this because of time. Sylvia was a good friend of the family for all the years she was at Parkside, attending many family celebrations such as birthdays and weddings. But it was only after Alan went to be with the Lord that she came on holiday with me. I can remember her saying when I returned from my first holiday in Switzerland with the Baptist Church, if you want someone to go on holiday with, I'll come. The following year, we went on a tour of Scotland and the islands. Eaten alive by midges in John O'Groats, we escaped to Orkney, where we inspected the ancient stone houses, shopped in Kirkwall, and visited an Italian chapel, which Italian prisoners' wars had illustrated so beautifully. We also discovered that Sunday on the west coast of Scotland is a very serious day. Everything is closed, including public toilets. At the breaking of bread, on the Sunday morning, the presenter sings the whole of the first line of a hymn before anyone else joins in. But on that occasion, we helped him. they didn't know the procedure. The holiday was a great success, and we had many to diverse locations. From the sublime to ridiculous, we went to Florida and Disney World, staying with Nigel, Anne and Alexander, where we thoroughly enjoyed our second childhood. We also had a holiday in South Africa. Many memorable things happened, but perhaps the best one to recall is that our plane on its return journey via Zimbabwe was commandeered by Mr. Mugabe. The first class passengers had to move into second class with us, while several large security men sat with us. No food was provided, only tea. Eventually, we stopped at Madrid, where our special guest and his guards left the plane. We finally got back to Heathrow, hungry, exhausted, and with swollen feet. We agreed to stick to conventional holidays in the future. The last two holidays with Sylvia were to the West Country. In 2007, we went to Newquay with Valerie, and that was when we were first aware of her inability to cope with certain personal tasks. The following year, matters were much worse, and we realised her sight was deteriorating and thought this was the problem. She had cataracts removed, but sadly, Sylvia had the onset of dementia. However, in the last few months she had been in hospital, we have tried to recall some of our adventures that you've been told about today. And then I have my own personal one. I suppose I first met Sylvia in about 1967-68. To me, she came as part of the Slee family package. As an only child, to get involved with a family of four children plus added family friends such as Sylvia was quite scary. Ron and Myrtle Slee were very much a part of her life, and Ron's influence encouraged her to be saved in 1979. On my first meeting with Sylvia, I suppose the thing that really impacted me was her wonderful South African accent. She could convey feelings of both approval and disapproval, not only by her words, but by the intonation in her voice. Sylvia was able to give you, though she may not have realised it, a real insight into South African attitudes and aspirations. The British media often paints South Africa as a black good, white bad situation. As Sylvia talked about growing up in her country, you quickly learn that there were many shades and textures that the media had ignored, and that neither grouping had the monopoly of either good or bad. I also came to learn very early on in our friendship that she was clinically efficient. In terms of running Ron Slee's business, my father-in-law, both customers and suppliers recognised that there was someone in the office who, if she said she would do something, it would be done. From time to time, I would be asked to build shelves or workbenches over the Christmas breaks, and it was difficult, but not impossible, to get my work approved first time by the lady clerk of works upstairs in the office. She was also a very good controller of office money and would husband the resources, whilst my father-in-law saw a positive bank balance as a challenge to be faced and addressed. Sylvia and I were also kindred spirits as far as noisy, boisterous family party games were concerned. After lunch, when game time was mandatory, I would notice Sylvia was missing. After considerable search, I would find her tucked up in a small, quiet room reading or thinking, but she always ensured that there was always sufficient space for me as well. Although we didn't talk for considerable time periods, we had a wonderful time in each other's company. It was thrilling when Sylvia was saved in 1979, as we were able then to share Christian things together as well as the everyday things of life. One thing that never changed before or after she was saved was her unfaltering love of Cliff Richard. We have not yet broken the news to him that one of his lifetime fans has passed on. I shall miss many things about Sylvia, but probably most of all her wonderful voice. And I'll just hand over, please, to Philip to give his personal appreciation and one from my wife, Rachel. Thank you.
Thank you, David. It's a privilege for me, on behalf of Joanne and myself, to tell you a little of Sylvia that we knew and loved whenever we lived in Maidenhead. It's actually back in 1999 that we moved from Ireland to live here with Andrew, who was 6, and Rachel, who was 4. And very quickly, we became part of the Christian family at Parkside. From very early on, we made a very special friendship, and in fact, we actually got a new surrogate grandmother for Andrew and Rachel in Sylvia, or, as she told us to call her, Oma. We were only here a few months, and Sylvia, one day, the kids were saying, what do we call her? Is Sylvia, or is it Miss McNeil? And Sylvia announced, you can call me Oma. And I said, what's that mean? And she said, grandmother. And there was a lump in my throat and in Joanne's eyes. And there was a quite emotional moment, and Sylvia thought, I better put a stop to that. And she said, well, Oma is actually the number one selling brand of rusks in South Africa, and that's what you eat. And I think you can just imagine that's the real Sylvia, because the mask had dropped for just a second on the stiff upper lip of someone who was deeply, deeply caring. She had a very direct sense of humour indeed. Now, she got 2 grandchildren, and then she finally got a noisy 3rd one in Hannah. Sylvia, of course, was no nonsense, and she was one of the few people in this country we could trust to mind our son Andrew, because for those of you who don't know Andrew has severe learning difficulties. He's a great guy, but he can be quite a challenge to manage. Janet could manage him, Alan could manage, and Sylvia. Now, Sylvia's love for Andrew was very deep, and he dearly loved and respected her. But you know what? Sometimes we'd come home and there would be some bruises on Sylvia's arm, and hopefully no one here from social services was present. But I would say to Sylvia, has Andrew hit you today? No, there's nothing wrong with that young fella. You know, he's absolutely perfect. I just fell against the door. And we knew that was far from the case. Every week, Sylvia came to our house for tea, and we would all have shepherd's pie together. She would talk about her life. She would open up about her life back in South Africa. And of course, I think, as some of you know, to your cost, she would put the world to rights. And she would stand for no nonsense. And I think that was the interesting other side of Sylvia. Now, in Sunday school for many years, she was Andrew's carer. But as Joanne explained to me this, reminded me this morning, how it started was quite funny. We were here 2 weeks, and this little South African lady comes up to us and says, what are you going to do with him? He can't go to Sunday school. Oh, I'll take him, and I'll sit with him. And so she did. And Sylvia climbed up the rickety ladder out the back into the loft every week, along with Robert and Brian, and sat in Sunday school class with Andrew as his friend. And you know what? Every night on a Friday night, we saw the depth of Sylvia's personal commitment, that she supported Alan running the Friday club. She did manager of crowd control, and she also kept the rule book. For Joanne and I, we look back to about 10 years ago, whenever the church here ran a course called Christianity Explored every Monday night for 10 weeks, and did that twice. Every single week, Sylvia came for tea, looked after our kids, and put the 2 of them to bed. Now, when you think of the size of Andrew now, he's 6'3". He's bigger than I am. And Sylvia had the commitment and personality to do that. And that allowed us to come here and to share the Christian gospel with our friends. And you know what? The point is that Sylvia was wholeheartedly part of the Christian work of the church. But not in a showy way. She was a real example of her generation, just like Hedley Bray was selflessly taking responsibility and stepping in when there was a need to be met. And you know what? I know there's people who are going to bump into her in heaven someday and say, "Thank you, Sylvia." What Sylvia says in reply, you know, that may be a different matter. Now, 7 years ago, when little Hannah was born, Sylvia, again unannounced, would turn up once a week and say, "Right, Joanne, get you out of here. You take that wee boy out on the bike for a while, and I'll look after baby Hannah." And she was great with Hannah, and with some lovely pictures even on the iPhone today of her with Hannah. But there was the other funny side of it. You know, every other time Joanne would go out, there'd be a phone call. "You got to get back here, quick, come here now, something's happened." That was the nappy. Because nappy duties is not something that Sylvia was really into taking care of. So I think if we had not come, I think an ambulance might have been called or the emergency doctor to administer the changing of nappy. That wasn't for her. I'm personally very indebted to Sylvia as well, because it has to be said she was known to tell off my wife Joanne and say, would you leave that poor fella alone? You're having him running everywhere and he never stops. Could you not let him sit down and have a little cup of tea?" I have to say, my wife never listened, but at least Sylvia tried, and I'm very indebted for that. Now, we moved back to Ireland about coming 5 years ago in June, actually. And when we were there, Sylvia came to see us in Donaghadee by the sea. And we saw that slow decline as her condition began to take hold. And she was very independent. And I'm sure letting go of that car and that flat were hard. And I have a tribute for Rachel in a moment, but I'm sure for Rachel, it must have been a very hard transition going from being daughter to mother, in being cared for by Sylvia to caring for Sylvia. The goodbyes to Sylvia actually took place over some time. A number of months ago, Andrew was over with me for a weekend here with Alan, and we went to visit Sylvia in the home where she was staying. And as Andrew looked into her face, he looked, and as we came out the door, and he said, "Sylvia, ick." And Alan just looked at me and said, "He knows she's going." And that was hard, because he was losing his grandmother. I last saw her with Alan, and it was in the hospital. And you know, yes, a very sad setting to see where Sylvia ended up. But I put my hand on her hand and I said, "Hello, Oma." She turned round and said, "Andrew." And the nurse nearly fell off her feet and couldn't believe it and said, "Wow, I didn't know she liked kids. Maybe we could bring some in for a visit." And I said, "Yeah, there's a lot of things you don't know with Sylvia." But, you know, finishing on a positive note, our perhaps fondest memory with Sylvia was one sunny August bank holiday, and we set off for a day trip as a family to go to Bourton on the Water, up in the Cotswolds. Sylvia, as ever, was turned out immaculately. I liked to leave about 9, but you weren't allowed to leave at 9. You had to leave at 10:45, because, you see, Karen Cox had to do her hair first. And she got her hair all nicely done and her lovely outfit on, and we picnicked it in Bourton, and we feasted at the Pudding Club in Mickleton. And in the middle of Bourton on the Water, there's a stream. Very important to remember that, especially if you've got a beautiful Harrods suit on. And you've got my son who says, "Sylvia, suit, water. Ah, I wonder what would happen if I went into the water and just kicked it all over her." So Sylvia got totally soaked. But I have to say, she kept smiling. And for us, that was a special day, because she really was grandma. Now, on Saturday the 2nd, when we got the sad but inevitable but joyous news of Sylvia leaving this earth to be with her Lord, in our little daily reading were the words of Acts chapter 11, verse 24. Now, if you look it up, you'll see I've changed it from male to female. "She was a good woman, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great number of people were added to the Lord." You know, for me, that sums up Sylvia. Now, Rachel's asked me to give a tribute on her behalf of Sylvia. I can't speak South African, but two words are down at the start, and it's, oh, shame. And that was the expression that so often was heard exiting from Sylvia's lips and heard by Rachel. Rachel say, to me, she was babysitter, big sister, boss, introduction to Tom Jones and Cliff Richard. Even personally, ladies who lunch club and friend. I am presently struggling with memories of the last few difficult years. Her wonderful neighbour Jean, David and Pam Sampson, and other friends and myself were called out many times to help her in tricky situations as she's tried to stay as long as she could in her flat. One day in 2009, I called to take her to lunch, and that was the day she and I realised she could no longer work out how to knit. The next week, she could not even hold a pen. I remember having to tell her that she could no longer drive, and then she could no longer live on her own. She said, I hate you, but you know, I know you're right. It was very difficult for someone who was so efficient and so independent. However, we were able to take comfort from the scriptures, reading a few Bible verses together and singing hymns. Sylvia was wonderfully cared for by Grace and James Law and their dedicated staff at Normanhurst, and latterly by Joytika Berry and the staff at St Mark's Nursing Centre. Angela and I were called three times to sit with Sylvia when she was dying, and we were so glad to be with her on the 2nd of April when peacefully she took her last breath and went to be forever with her Lord. Thank you.
Well, let's sing our second choice. When the trumpet of the Lord is sound, and sound shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Thank you.
And the tide shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Brethren who give wonderful tributes to Sylvia are capable of taking away my Bible, but I can think I can manage to say what I have to say without it. All right. Thank you. Fortunately, I've been told I'm a dry speaker, so I don't need notes, but I need a glass of water, apparently. You'll notice on the front of your sheet is Sylvia's favourite verse. He knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. That text we found with three big ticks against it, so it was very much appreciated by Sylvia. But you know, the two verses before that, verse 10, because Job is a book of experience, there's some verses which perhaps explain the difficult part of her life. She, I don't know this, I didn't know that. You see, as we recall just now, at the age of 9, she lost her mother. And unfortunately, her father wasn't able to look after her, but her grandmother took her under her wing. And she went along to the Baptist Church in East London and said, well, I understood what they were saying, but I didn't really understand, and I had nobody to ask. Her grandmum died, and her mother's brother said, I'll take her. But whilst he was very kind, his wife didn't like Sylvia at all and gave her a hard time. So at the age of 16, she was bound to leave home. Had to find digs and found a job with the J&J Company, an international pharmaceutical company in South Africa. Well, she did very well. She came to England in the early 60s with some friends for a holiday, and then in 62 settled down in England and got a transfer from South Africa to England with J&J. And she was assigned to the marketing manager and his secretary. And who should that be? Why, Lawrence Lee. Lawrence Lee not only found it very efficient, but he took her to his home, introduced her to his wife, his sister, his daughter's son, and they had a very happy time together and spent very, very many happy weekends there, and equally came to know something more by going along to the gospel hall of the Lord Jesus. But, you know, it came a time when Ron said, well, I'd like to have my business of my own. I'd like to move up and do something on my own, but I'd like you to come with me, Sylvia. And as we've heard already, she was very, very efficient. Very, very efficient. And she looked after his business while he was away in India. And whilst the postal strike was on, and she used to say to me, I used to wonder when the cheques were all going to come in we were waiting for, and if they would come. But as Ron said, when he came back, she was very, very effective and very helpful. Well, Sylvia decided now it was time she made a move into permanent residence and bought a flat with Ron's guidance to where she's lived for the rest of her life. But imagine his surprise one day, she hadn't been here long, when she said, you know where I went last night? Where? Parkside Gospel Hall. You went where? I can't believe it. On your own? Well, no, but she said they made me very welcome. Angela Cox was there and they taught them. And I'm very happy. Well, it continued very happy. And she was extremely, yes, with lots and lots of friends. But the real joy came in 79 when she said, oh, now I really know what it means to love the Lord. Ron had explained many times, because Monday morning would be the time when she would go to him and say, I read this, or I've heard that, what does it mean? And Ron would explain it. But when she had been saved, she came and she wanted to be obedient to the Lord, and she said, I want to be baptized. And we had the joy of baptizing her, and Ron gave the closing words, and also he closed in prayer. So right to the end, he was a very big influence in her life. But in 89, the Lord took Ron to be with himself. And already, Sir was very much involved in the assembly work here. And as you've heard from the testimony, she really was a first-class, willing worker. She would do anything. She may not take a Sunday school class, but she was willing to do anything and did it well, too. And very effectively. We've obviously had her in the home a lot, and we've had holidays with her, and I have to say that she used to enjoy sitting down in the morning and having a quiet time with us if we were on holiday, and it was a good, good time. But as we know, it came a time when Sylvia's health became worse. The happy time she'd spent in Normanhurst, they could contain her no longer because the doctor had sent her to Epsom, and Epsom didn't make her get out of bed and help to walk. And Normanhurst said, "We can't take you back." And so we found a place for her in the Bupa at St Mark's. Yes, many people visited her, some to read the scriptures, some to pray with her. I suppose my own personal thing was like about a month or 6 weeks ago, perhaps, I went in there one day and I said to her, "I'll sing to you the first verse of your favourite hymn." And she said, "Go on." And I sang. I said, "Now for the second verse, you join with me." She said, "No, I can't." But I didn't either. But those were the days she enjoyed, even when she was in hospital, when she was alive and alert. She enjoyed the fellowship of the Lord's people. She enjoyed the fellowship of the Lord himself. And those that brought comfort to her with their words. And I suppose the last 2 or 3 weeks, those who were visiting so regularly could see a great marked improvement, a difficulty. She was becoming less and less coherent, and it was anything but peaceful. She was fighting, talking to someone in her state, and it was tragic. And one could only pray, "Lord, please, take her to be with thyself." And the Lord answered that prayer, for the second very clearly, when peacefully she moved into his presence to be pillowed in his arms, to know the comfort, the joy, and the peace of being absent from the body, but present with the Lord. The last three verses tell something of or the three verses which follow the 10th verse of Job 23, that speak to us something of, yes, her busyness. And she says, "I've done this and I've done that." Yes, she was obedient to the Lord. She would hear teaching here, and she'd say, "Well, I don't quite understand." But if you explained it to her and talked with her, she said, "If that's the Lord's word, I'll do it." Yes, and then ultimately we knew that joy of her passing into the presence of the Lord, free from her physical, mental condition, and knowing the joy of being home with the Saviour. But the last verse of those three verses after the 10th verse says this: "He is unique." The Lord Jesus, God himself, is unique. He is. There's none to be compared. Sylvia knew it, and the way he led her from a difficult time at the very beginning, through pathways to introduce her to people that were going to help her in Christian walk and Christian pathway. He was going to introduce her to people that were going to make her loved and cared for, but in turn she herself would show so much vitality and doing the things that pleased the Lord. Yes, he led her. And what was our favourite verse there? "When he has tested me." Yes, he's done the testing. Has testing more than some of us have gone through. "But I shall come forth as gold." She came forth as gold when she first trusted the Saviour. She was very precious to him. He'd always loved her. "But you're my child, and you're precious." It was precious to him as she was obedient to him in the waters of baptism and as she was faithful in the work of the assembly. But this morning, she's precious to him because she's at home with him. But it hasn't completed there, because there's a time coming when this body of limitation, whether we're in the glory or whether we are still alive, are going to be changed. In a twinkling of an eye, he's going to snatch us away. And in a twinkling of an eye, this body of limitation is going to be fashioned like his glorious body, a mind, yes, to comprehend with him the wonders of eternity and the wonders of Christ himself. Unique, but this morning, it's a joy of thanksgiving. But the joy is coming from the Lord Jesus himself. He was the one and the work of the Holy Spirit, which made the difference in Sylvia's life. But then the work of the believers helping her was only fitting. The Lord did these things. The Lord, when he brings me forth, having tested me, I shall come forth as gold. As I close, let me just say this. I wonder if everyone has that assurance here this morning that Sylvia has. That wonderful assurance of knowing the Lord is her personal saviour, of knowing the comfort. Well, let me commend him again to you this morning. If the Lord called you into his presence today, would you be there? Or say, I'm sorry, I've never trusted. May you think about these things, but may the rest of us rejoice in a wonderful sister, a wonderful friend, and one that's at home with the Lord. Thank you very much. Now let's sing, because I see the taker is outside. But let me just say one word before I give that opening hymn. Some of you may have your cars parked in the middle, because the car park is quite full. Please, if you have parked there, please move them as quickly as possible to save others who may want to go to the graveside. There is a limousine if anybody hasn't got transport and would like to go to the graveside. They're quite happy to take that limousine and to bring you back afterwards. Now let's sing our closing hymn. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Saviour lives. Thank you very much.
God sent his son, he came only Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died. An empty grave is here to know that he is because he lives like a day's tomorrow. Because he lives, I know he knows. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth. How sweet you are, and you are baby, and hear the cry, and joy he gives, but grace and chill, where all assurance is found and grace, a certain place, because he lives, because he lives. Days tomorrow, because he lives. My fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day, across the river, a fight night's fine, no war with him. And in as good his faith of victory, I'll see the lights of glory that
seated. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for this time of remembrance and of celebration of the life of Sylvia. Our Father has friends, those who have known her for a short time, for a long time. We give thanks that Sylvia, our dear friend, is now in the presence of the Lord, and as we bury her remains, the real Sylvia is at home with Christ. Amen.